Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the VRL Logistics Q2 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Alok Deora. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 2Q FY 2024 earnings conference call of VRL Logistics. So we have with us today Mr. Sunil Nalavadi, CFO of the company. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Nalavadi to give opening remarks and discuss on the performance of the company, and then we can take the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Alok. I'm Sunil Nalavadi here, CFO of VRL Logistics. I once again welcome all of you for quarter two earnings call of FY 2024. And just to highlight about the results, during the quarter, the revenues increased around close to 9% from 656 crores to 715 crores on a year-on-year basis. The increase in revenue is only on account of growth in tonnage by around 8%, and the tonnage is increased from 966,000 to 1,047,000 tons. The increase in tonnage, again, is the main reason is on account of increase in the branch network of the company. Year-on-year, we added around 120 branches, and these branches have contributed around 4.45% of the total tonnage in quarter two of FY 2024. Our strategy of expansion of branch network is going to be continued and planning to add around 25 to 30 branches every quarter, especially in untapped market. Apart from the expansion in branch network, the contribution from the existing customers is also supportive for our growth. Further, we are acknowledging that many of the customers are shifting from unorganized operators to organized operators on account of increasing compliances under GST law. On the other side, due to delay in onset festive season in the current fiscal by a month has resulted into lower demand of cloth and textile materials in the current quarter. The year-on-year contribution of these commodities declined in the current quarter, and we are expecting that this is going to benefit us in quarter three, which covers most of the festive seasons of the year. The barcode and QR code system is stabilized and working smoothly across our booking and delivery processes with the consignment. During the quarter, the realization per ton is maintained at around 6,680 per ton. Since the freight rates predominantly linked with the retail fuel rates in India and the fuel rates are constant, we are unable to increase the freight rates. When it comes to EBITDA, it is increased from 95 crores to 98 crores, and the percentage of revenue is decreased slightly in the current quarter. The year-on-year EBITDA benefited due to decrease in average fuel procurement cost from 89 to 87 rupees per liter. The decrease in diesel cost is also due to increase in bulk purchase of fuel from the refineries at a discounted price. The purchase of fuel from the refineries as a percentage to the total quantity is increased from 1.7% of the total quantity to 30.41% of the total quantity. However, the overall cost of diesel is increased due to addition of own vehicles and increase of their kilometers in overall kilometers operated by the vehicles. Similarly, the vehicle repair and maintenance costs, toll charges, tire costs are increased due to addition of own vehicles and increase in kilometers operated by these vehicles. The increase in these costs has been compensated by decrease in lorry hire charges by around 3% to the revenue. Lorry hire charges have been reduced on account of low dependency on the hired vehicles in the current quarter. The toll charges further increased due to increase in toll plazas from 1,182 to 1,285 toll plazas, and also due to increase in toll rates and toll rates. The loading and unloading charges also increased on account of increase in rates, resulted into increase in variable cost and impacted on the EBITDA margins. The rent expenses, which is fixed in nature, is increased due to increase in number of branches and increase in space of majority of branches and transshipment hubs during the current quarter. We increase the space in key location considering our expected growth in tonnage for the subsequent period. The same is resulting into lower utilization of space in the current quarter and impacted on EBITDA margins. The employee cost increased in the current quarter because of annual increments effected from September 23 and also increase in manpower and internal promotions to the staff. The EBIT of goods transport segment is reduced in the current quarter only on account of increase in depreciation. And the depreciation and amortization cost is increased. One is on account of increase in capex. And second thing is on increase in the right of use assets as per Ind AS 116, that is accounting of rental expenses on a long-term lease agreement entered for enhancement in major branches and transshipment space. The finance cost also increased in the current quarter on account of one is increase in the debt, and second one is again amortization of rental expenses based on the Ind AS 116 accounting policy. This has been resulted into further reduction in profit before tax, and again that impacted on the reduction of profit after tax in the current quarter. Similarly, and also the revenue of GT segment is increased by around 5% and mainly on account of increase in the tonnage. And moreover, realization is constant because again the realization is mainly linked to the retail fuel price in India. So the retail fuel price is not changed much. We are unable to increase the rates. Just I want to highlight that during the quarter we invested around 112 crores in the capex, predominantly for addition of vehicle, and on account of this the net of debt of the company reached to 280 crores and it was 193 crore as on 30th June 2023. The increase in debt, one is on account of capex, and also some internal cash accruals have been deployed for payment of final dividend of the company. Going forward, as a reference, I would like to mention here that in October we reached a tonnage growth of 16% year-on-year basis, and the cloth and textile materials alone grown by around 45%, which is a major commodity we are handling. If we do this kind of a growth for the remaining period of the year, that will support to increase the EBITDA margins at around 15 to 16% level. We have taken a call to increase in freight rates by around 5 to 10% of contractual customers from December, and their contribution is around 20% to the total tonnage. Our network expansion is going to continue, and there is a lot of scope to increase our branches, especially in east and north and west zones of India. These steps are giving us to support increase in revenue growth in the coming period. Further, on the expenses, the rent expenses is fixed in nature, and impact of these expenses is much higher in the current quarter due to lower utilization of a space. The same space and rent expenses is going to suffice the requirement of space for the enhanced tonnage growth in the future. The percentage of these costs may reduce going forward and support for increase in EBITDA margin. The increase in employee costs from September 23 is going to remain constant at least for a 1 year period. The impact of these expenses is much higher in the current quarter due to tonnage growth is not at an expected level. The same expenses as a percentage to the revenue will decline once we reach the volume growth by around 15 to 16% for the remaining period of the year. Similarly, the increase in depreciation and interest in the current quarter is fixed and periodical in nature, and these costs will not increase in proportion to the increase in revenue and will support improvement in EBIT and PBT margins going forward. With this, I will conclude my initial remark, and I request participants to open for question and answer session.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone, and thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. The first one is on the contribution of new branches to tonnage. While you have indicated that they contributed 4.48% to total tonnage, if you can also highlight their contribution in terms of revenue and EBITDA, if possible, that would be helpful.
No, we do not have, the revenue, the realization will be more or less similar. But when it comes to EBITDA level, we do not have a, branch-wise EBITDA or something like that. It is a consolidated EBITDA number, because most of the expenses we are incurring at a centralized level. But these branches also, say, for example, the minimum tonnage to reach a break-even of new branches is around 100 tons per month. Once these branches reach to 100 tons, then definitely it will contribute to EBITDA margins. Now, whatever branches, around 120 branches we opened in last 1 year, so almost all branches are contributing more than 100 tons in a month.
Typically, how much time it takes for these branches to reach 100 tons per month?
See, prior to, you know, earlier, around 4 to 5 years back, if you see, it used to take at least around 6 months, sometimes 1 year period. Now, that period has been reduced hardly around 2 to 3 months. In 2 to 3 months, these branches are reaching to 100 tons per month.
Okay, that's very helpful, sir. The second question is essentially on the overall guidance. So now, volume growth, if you look at it and compared to last several quarters, it was low, and you mentioned in your opening remarks, due to cloth and textiles. Now, what is the volume growth that we could, you know, pencil in for the entire year, FY24?
So in next 6 months, if we achieve around 16% growth, then overall our growth in tonnage will be around 13% for full year, 13%+.
So H2 will be 16%, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
And 16% or nearabout.
Yeah. Yes, you know, this quarter, what happened, the cloth, which is contributing almost around 17% to 18% of our tonnage, which has grown negative by around 3%. Whereas the same has, because of, you know, delay in festival season, actually negative by around 4.61% precisely. And this tonnage has improved by around 46-47% in October alone on a year-on-year basis. So definitely this momentum is going to be continued at least for us.
Okay. Okay, sir. Got it. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, as fuel expenses has gone up quarter-on-quarter basis, are you looking to take any price hike to compensate it and back margin at a 15-16% level? Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We have connected the management line back. And Mr. Abhishek, could you please repeat your question once again, please?
Thank you. So my question was related with the fuel expenses, which has gone up quarter-on-quarter basis. So are you looking to take any price hike to compensate it? And how is the pricing environment right now? Hello?
Is it audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in India, freight rates are mainly linked with the retail fuel price. But since the retail fuel price is stagnant over more than 1 year period, many of the customers, you know, whenever we go for a rate hike, they refer only fuel rates. But having said that, for the contractual customers, we have not approached even for the last more than 1 year period to enhance the rates. Now, we have already decided to increase around 5 to 10% rates for our contractual customers from 1st December. So around 20% of tonnage is contributing by these customers. So this is going to support us for some of the enhancers, to take care of some of the enhanced expenses.
So most probably that in second half FY24, we'll see the some pressure on the margin because of the increase in fuel prices.
No, the fuel price, if it increases immediately, we can increase the freight rate across all customers. That is not at all issue. But apart from fuel rate, whatever costs are increasing, that is, you know, the customer's acceptance on those costs is a little bit hesitant.
So how is the margin guidance for the second half FY24, sir?
Yeah, if we grow by tonnage around 15-16% for remaining 6 months, then definitely we will back to at least around 15-16% margin on a EBITDA level.
Okay, sir. And my next question is on the geography-wise revenue in the first half. Your north and west has been historically weak versus the other zones. So what steps you are taking to increase your presence there?
No, the most of these new branches, which contributed around 4% to the overall tonnage, these branches are situated at, in a eastern and northern side of India. And definitely, the contribution from that zone is increasing. But on overall terms, it is not a significant. Again, even in current scenario, the south is contributing almost around, 40% of the tonnage. And north and west is contributing around, say, 20% each, and remaining 10% is coming from the eastern part of the country.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is just looking at your sequential, that is, first quarter to second quarter movement in costs. First question is regarding how the economics change between owned vehicle and hired vehicle. Obviously, your lorry hire charges have gone down about 1.5 percentage points, but it seems like your vehicle running, repairs and maintenance, the tire cost, probably other things are more than kind of compensating this benefit of lorry hire. So is it just because with like initial days that you've just added vehicles and you should start seeing benefit of owning vehicles rather than hiring? Or is there some other explanation to this, sir, in terms of owned versus hired?
No, basically what happened is own vehicle addition happened on a periodical basis. In the sense, it is not added on a first day. So these vehicles are added during the period of the quarter, and subsequently that benefit is going to come in next quarter now.
Right. So the actual benefit of these own vehicles will only come in now, is what we should think.
Yes. So these are added gradually, but the as and when tonnage comes, actually we engage outside vehicle also, and sometimes we have to do a maintenance of the remaining own vehicles and other things. Since the capacity is available as on 30th September, that benefit is going to come in quarter three.
Right.
Yeah.
Understood. And secondly, on growth, you did say that October has been very strong at 15%+ growth. Even if we kind of assume that the second half is going to be closer to its 15% mark, we'll end at just below 13% kind of a growth rate, 12.5%, 13%. So this seems to be slightly lesser than what I think we were looking at. I mean, our guidance was slightly higher than this, especially given the move from unorganized to organized, etc. So even adjusting for this festive change versus last year, the growth seems to be slightly lower. Are you seeing some weakening in terms of demand trends? Or are you also going to be changing some of your vehicle procurement plans because this growth is slightly lower? Anything that you could talk on this?
Yeah. See, basically what happens, if you see on an overall economic level, is there are certain lower demand in certain sectors. See, one is the cloth is impacted because of the festival in the current quarter. Apart from that, on a full year basis, if we take, most of the commodities which are linked to agriculture and rural economy, there is some slowdown. Basically, it may be the agri-related pesticides, seeds. That movement, actually, we've grown hardly around 7% odd. Whereas some of the rural, say, for example, consumer durables, there also we are having some low growth as compared to the overall average growth of the tonnage. So on account of these reasons, the key reason of slower of these demands is on account of staggered monsoons. Monsoons are not equally good across the country. That is also another reason why the lower demand is. And especially if you take Karnataka, which is major contribution from our tonnage, in Karnataka there is a lower demand because of the low monsoons in the current year.
Okay.
So this is impacted on an overall basis of reduction in tonnage, at least around 2 to 3% on an overall basis. But whereas the rest of the things, say, for example, branch network expansion we are doing, and continuously we are doing a marketing, aggressive marketing across all the sectors. And not only that, we are about the vehicle utilization part, about the movement of the goods, everything we are concentrating and monitoring it. But some kind, because of these external factors, on an overall basis, around 2 to 3% decline than the expected level in tonnage growth. And because of this, the vehicle procurement, again, that will be staggered. And whatever we plan for this current year, some of the vehicle addition may shift to next financial year.
Okay. So is it fair to assume that what we have done in first half will be for the full year, or you will see, you still see some addition of vehicles this year?
No, there will be the lesser addition in the second half year.
Okay. Okay. Got that, sir. And just one last thing. On fuel procurement from refineries, I think last quarter you had mentioned that because you're adding two new pumps, it can go to 40% plus. But it seems like we're still at the 30-31% procurement from refineries. So, the reason why this is lower?
No, one is, that the two additional pumps are not at started. In Delhi, actually, it may commence shortly.
Okay.
But on the other side, what is happening because of the war situation, the Israel war and other kind of things, the crude oil prices have been increased. So because of this reason, what is happening, the bulk purchase price has been increased, and it has impacted in the September, and same is continued in October also. So there will be some lower procurement going forward on this bulk purchase.
Okay, so it will remain at this 30-31% for now, until the bulk purchase prices kind of come down.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Panni Raju from Investor. Please go ahead.
Namaste, sir. My name is Panni Raju from Andhra Pradesh.
Yes, sir. Please.
Sir, I have a question, sir. That is, I noticed that the EBITDA margin, September 20 is 20%, September 21 is 18%, September 22 is 14%, and now September 23 is 13%.
Yeah.
Every September, the EBITDA margin has been decreasing. May I know the reason?
No, in the first initial September, what happened, you are referring September 21 also. During that period, see, the economy is revamped immediately after the COVID period. And on account of that, suddenly there is a growth in tonnage. If you see the tonnage growth during that time, we reached almost around 20% plus tonnage growth. So that will result into reduction of the fixed percentage margin percentages as a percentage to the revenue. So on account of those things, actually the margins have been improved. Now what is happening, it is a standard operating across all the years. So that's the reason, there is no sudden growth. It is a gradual or normal growth happening across the year. During earlier those periods, if you see, there is a sudden demand in the tonnage, there is a sudden growth in tonnage. On account of that, there is a good kind of EBITDA margin. That's the only reason.
Yes, sir, but every September is same results. EBITDA is down.
And September, see, this September we are having a reason. See, because we enhanced most of the spaces, rent expenses is increased, and employee cost is increased on account of annual increment. Actually, that was due in April itself, but we staggered till September. From September, actually, we effected the annual increment. Again, it impacted on the EBITDA margin. And I said, again, because of the variance in the festival season also, the once in 4 years, this issue will be there. Now, last year, the Diwali and all festivals due in the September itself. Now, it has been pushed to November this year. So, again, the demand of certain products have been pushed for 1 month.
Yes, sir. I think I expect best EBITDA margin to coming up.
Actually, see, we are taking a lot of steps on that front. One is we are focusing more on increase in the tonnage. Basically, we want to increase the volume because that will support to reduce the percentage of fixed expenses as a percentage to the revenue. And that's the reason actually we are expanding the branch network. And apart from that, wherever possible, actually, we are increasing the rates. Say, like contractual customer rates, we are increasing. And as I told earlier, even because of the stagnant of this fuel prices for more than 1 year, that is another reason that we are unable to pass on other increasing costs, say, like toll charges increasing, loading and unloading charges increasing. But we are unable to pass on these costs to the customers because always customers refer only fuel rates, and they will not consider increase in other costs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one to join the queue. The next question is from the line of Ankita Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So would you help us understand on the capex now? How many trucks are we planning to add in this financial year, and what could be the capex for FY24 and 25?
Yeah, now in half year we incurred almost around 200 crores, and predominantly for the purchase of the vehicles.
Yeah.
So out of the overall plan of around 400 plus crores in the current year, so we may invest another 120 to 150 crores capex in the next 6 months. And for the next year, at least around 200 to 250 crores annual capex will be there for FY25. On the vehicle side.
Okay.
And in FY25, if we plan to use this surplus money of our cash flow for our purpose is to repay the debt. And apart from that, if debt level is reduced substantially, then we may plan to add one or two properties, the transshipment hubs, only after in FY25 or 26.
What would be the average cost for a transshipment hub?
That will cost at least around 80 to 100 crores per hub. We may add around one or two hubs.
Okay. Any particular markets that we are seeing where we need to have a transshipment hub present?
No, this is actually just wherever rental costs are on the higher side, or wherever we are not getting a proper infrastructure, there we are planning. But we have not identified the places yet.
Okay. So, sir, this first half we've added a net addition of around 111 vehicles. So second half will be how many vehicles against that 150 crore of capex, and next year against this
400 vehicles, around 400 vehicles we are going to add in second half. 400 to 450 vehicles, yeah. And the scrappage will be lesser in the second half. Basically, most of the vehicles have been scrapped, and whatever vehicles are running today, these are running in a good condition, and except some major accident or something, otherwise these vehicles will operate for a full year. And on a scrappage side, again, there is not a mandatory rule as of today. So just we want to continue with the older vehicles.
Okay. And FY25, how many vehicles will be added?
See, again, for 250 crores, so each vehicle will cost around 30 lakh rupees.
Okay.
Yeah, around 100 vehicles we can say.
Got it. Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Soni from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just two questions, mostly on the sector side. So once this scrappage policy becomes mandatory, what will be the impact on the sector and your company?
Yeah, for us, currently around 900 vehicles are more than 15 years as of today. And as compared to the capacity, it is around 6 to 7% of the total tonnage capacity in our case. But in the market, if you say, or in the industry, almost around 35 to 40% of the vehicles are more than 15 years. Especially in the shorter routes. In long route, anyway, because of the national permit, the life of the vehicle is 15 years. There, all vehicles should operate, up to 15 years, we can have a national permit. But other than national permit category, especially the vehicles which are operating within state and neighboring state, there actually the maximum quantity of older vehicles are operating as of today. So there it will hit very badly on the market if it is a mandatory rule.
You mean the smaller on the smaller players, the margin, the impact will be higher.
Smaller players, and even in our case, say for example, we are operating, you know, good in southern states. Even we are expanding network. For us also, where some of the local competitors as of today competing, that competition will become very weak once it is a mandatory rule. And there is a, you know, huge amount of scarcity of the vehicle will be there in the market, and that will lead to increase in the freight rates. Since we are having a lower older vehicle, that will benefit us to get a, you know, freight rate on a higher rate.
But in the long term, that will be also like a deterrent for new players also to enter in this.
Sorry?
So this will also like benefit the bigger players like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in India, nobody is having their own vehicle, their own infrastructure. Most of the operators are depending on the outside vehicle. So the moment it will become mandatory, there will be scarcity of the vehicles in the market, then the vehicle hire charges are going to be increased like anything. But that risk will not be there for us.
Okay, understand. And so second question is on the impact of the operation after the DFC is operational. So what kind of a volume shift you are expecting from road to rail post the after the full operational of these DFCs?
See, one is our commodities are, you know, much different as compared to what DFC can carry. Is most of our commodities are parcels, the small parcels which ranges from say 15 kgs to say like 30 kg, 40 kg for a single article. That kind of commodity we are you know, transporting. And moreover, say for example, if the person sitting at Delhi, he wants to distribute his material across India, then his distribution should be at least around 100-150 locations. So we have to carry his goods from one location and segregate those goods in our transshipment hub. Then we have to arrange a load from say Delhi to different routes. So such customers cannot depend on a DFC which is you know, connecting only the Delhi to Mumbai route. So basically the commodity what DFC is going to carry versus the customer nature and commodity what we are carrying are different. So the impact will not be there on us.
So won't be that will lead to increase in the shorter distance travel to provide this gap, which is first mile to last mile connectivity?
Or
means like DFC, they will not be they won't be able to provide the first mile and the last mile connectivity. So once
yes.
They are operational, so will that be a scenario where the demand for a shorter distance travel will be more, or the share of a shorter distance travel for the logistics operator will increase?
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Soni, for any further follow-up questions, may we request you to return to the question queue as there are several other participants.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit Pawar from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My question is, what is the level of OPMs and revenue we are expecting in the context? What level we are ready to take a hit on OPMs to reach preferred revenue levels?
Sorry, your voice is not audible. Will you repeat your question, please?
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Sir, my question was, what is the level of OPMs and revenue we are expecting in the context? What level we are ready to take a hit on OPMs to reach preferred revenue levels?
No, See, one is, as I told, once we reach at a 15-16% growth in the tonnage, definitely we can maintain EBITDA margin of arriving in 15-16% level. So in the current quarter, because of, you know, some of the shift of confinement to the next quarter, and again, overall, you know, decline in tonnage by at least around 2-3% on account of overall economic scenario, that impacted on the margin. So if we grow at a 15-16% tonnage in the remaining years, then definitely we can see EBITDA at around 16%.
Yes. Also, sir, the tonnage growth target was of 15%, right? So currently it is of 8%. So when do we expect to reach the targets of 15%?
See, in our first half, we reached on a overall basis around 10% growth in tonnage. See, for remaining quarters, we are expecting, you know, at least around 16% growth in the, you know, Q3 and Q4. So overall, it will result around 13% growth in the tonnage. That 2% gap is on account of, just I told you, because of the monsoon, lower monsoon, or the periodicity of the monsoon is not accurate during the time. There was, that is one reason. And that may impact. See, on a full year basis, that 2% gap will be there on a overall basis.
Yes, sir, got it. My last question.
If it is normalized, then again we'll be back at least around 15% plus growth in the next year.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, my last question is, the wind energy business was sold for 187 CR, so which were to be used for the repayment of debt. But now the debt has been increased. So may I get the bifurcation for the spendings accordingly?
Yeah, please. See, 197 we realized in the last year itself, and accordingly the debt levels have been reduced. Now what happened in the current year, we incurred a capex of around 200 crores in first half year, and that is resulted in the increase in debt. And apart from that, we paid, you know, certain amount for the final dividend.
Penalty. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that also is another reason for increasing the debt in the current half year.
Yes, sir. And sir, the truck utilization percentage currently?
Yeah, up to half, always we are operating with 100% capacity. Up to spokes, there is a, you know, around 60-65% utilization.
Can we expect 80% in the coming future, until when?
See, volume growth, again, as I said, always support us. Even see, some hub to operational vehicles, the turnaround time will increase. And even hub to spoke capacity utilization from 60% to 80% may go around 70-75%. So always the volume growth will support, you know, to even for the utilization and reduction in the overall variable and fixed cost. So that's the reason we are more, you know, concentrating on the volume growth.
So, got it. Thank you. Yeah. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just had one question on the pricing that you mentioned, 5-10% hike for contractual customers. So, would we kind of start seeing the benefit of this or the price hike from January, or does this gradually come into effect through the next year for these 20-25% of your customers?
See, what we are expecting now that exercise is already on, some of the customers are accepting. We have not you know, having a date per se, but some customers are accepted even for the November month also. But you know, the benefit will start from December.
Okay, okay. It will start. And for the remaining 75-odd% of your customers, I think you took one general price hike last year. So around April, would there be a plan for a general price hike also? So I think once a year or something, you do plan to do that.
That we can plan. And moreover, again, it is linked to the fuel rate, what I said. So, post-election, if fuel rate changes, then definitely we will take a call on increasing freight rates.
Okay.
So, in that case, what will happen along with the you know, increase in the fuel rate, we can take consider the increase in other costs also and increase the rate.
Yeah, because your general infra cost, your rental costs are going up, so hence the general price hike. Okay. So that's not going to happen immediately, but it can happen after a few months, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Shivaji Mehta, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I had a question regarding these last 2 years since you have embarked on this journey to expand the branches in North and West, North and East. So could you give an approximate contribution that these new branches that you have added in these locations in the last 2 years, how much would they have contributed to the revenue?
Yeah, see, we give the contribution in the tonnage by around 4.5% on our overall tonnage.
No, but that's for the current quarter, the new branches, or is it for all the new branches that have been added in North and West for the last 2 years?
No, only it is on a year-on-year basis and quarter-on-quarter basis. Say, for example, year-on-year basis, as compared to 30th September of 22 versus 30th September 23, we added around 120 branches. These 120 branches have contributed around 4.5% to the overall tonnage.
Right, makes sense. So, and the last question from my side is, any split that you can give in the volume between, say, the Exim volume versus domestic volumes?
No, most of the volume is related to the domestic.
All right, thank you. That's all from my side.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nirav Seksaria from Living Root Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, sir. I missed in middle. Could you also repeat the capex guidance for H2?
For H2 capex plan, you are asking?
Yeah, for H2.
Yeah, it will be around 120 to 150 crores.
120 okay. And so for the capex that you have mentioned in FY25, it will be mostly through external borrowing, or will there be some amount of internal accruals for it?
Yeah, predominantly it will be from internal accruals, but wherever there is certain shortfall, then we go for a debt. See, on an annual basis, we are generating around say 350 to 400 crores cash accruals. These cash accruals predominantly used for a capex plan. If overall and above, if we declare some of dividend, some of the buyback we did in the last year, so some accruals will be used for that purpose, and for the purpose of capex, we go for a debt. But see, if we do the dividend and all put together, even if we spend around 350 to 400 crores in a year, our debt level will not increase.
Okay. And so, Is there possible that there can be some amount of scrappage in FY25?
Scrappage until, see, what we decided now, but see, we did a good amount of scrappage of vehicles in the last one and a half years. Considering that there is a scrappage policy which is going to be implemented or which is going to be mandatory. Now, what internally we or management has taken a call is, Let that policy to be a mandatory, then only we will take a call on the scrapping of majority of the vehicles. Till that date, whatever our earlier policy was there, wherever major accident happens to the vehicles which we are unable to maintain again, only those vehicles we are going to scrap. The number of vehicles which are going to be scrapped will reduce in the coming period.
So you have also mentioned that 900 vehicles are 15 years and older. So if the policy takes up, then the 900 vehicles will be scrapped together, or it will be general over the span of FY25?
Sorry?
You have mentioned that 900 vehicles are 15 years, older than 15 years, right?
Yeah.
So sir, if the scrappage policy takes in, the 900 vehicles will be scrapped over a period of time, or it will be like within H1 or H2 as such?
See, even in the policy, what will happen, even though they made it a mandatory, they assume that first April 2024. So whenever this vehicle has to go for a fitness certificate, only during that time they verify. If it is these vehicles are unable to run, then they will not issue a fitness certificate, then we have to scrap. That's what the rule is. So it will take 1 year period gradually. Some vehicles due for a fitness certificate in April, May, June, like that. It will not happen on a single day.
And so it's not completely that the all 900 vehicles will be scrapped, right?
Yeah. Okay. If it is mandatory, then definitely we have to do. And even other operators also.
Okay. Only if it's mandatory. If it's not mandatory, there will be a fitness check of the vehicle post which it will be decided.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The last question is from the line of Mr. Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of questions. Sir, one is the shift in tonnage because of the festive season. So if this different this differential in was not there of the, you know, the festive season days, so what would have been the volume growth really for Q2 if we would have not seen the change?
See, now the cloth and the textile material itself degrown by around 4%, 4.5% year on year.
Yeah.
Now, precisely it is a 4.61%. Even if it would have grown normally, so our tonnage growth in the current quarter, it should be at least around 12% plus.
Got it. And yeah. Sir, there was this strike in Bangalore in last week of September. Any impact that had on the tonnage or not really?
No, no. It's not impacted much. You are saying this Kaveri issue?
Yeah.
No, there is no much impact on it.
Got it. And just one last question. This net debt, which is right now there, after, since we are going now very slow on the capex, so where do we see the net debt stabilizing now ahead, going ahead?
See, now, as I said, every quarter or every half year, you say 150 to 200 crores cash flow will come in next 6 months, free cash flows. And these free cash flows, again, as I said, we are going to plan around 120, 150 crore capex. So these free cash flows predominantly used for, you know, for the investment in capex. And over and above, it may reduce around some 20, 30 crore reduction is possible as of 31st March.
Got it. But it won't increase in any under any scenario further.
Yeah, it will not increase.
Got it. That's all for my side, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all the participants for your patient hearing. And basically, as a closing remark, just I want to highlight that this tonnage variance in the current quarter is on account of some of the specific reason, especially because of the festive season and because of some of the, you know, impact on certain sector like agriculture and rural economic demand. And the festive season, again, that is going to, you know, recover in the coming, it has been already recovered in the October that I, you know, already conveyed to you. And based on that, we are expecting that at least around 15-16% growth of tonnage in the coming 6 months. So once we grow at a 15-16%, then definitely our margins will improve. And for this kind of a growth, we have already, you know, we have already planned for our expansion in the area. We have already invested and incurred expenses about especially the godowns and transshipment hub area, what we require. So these expenses may not be increased in proportion to the increase in revenue going forward. So definitely, based on that, our margins are also going to improve. So with this, definitely again, we will back to our original EBITDA margins of around 15-16%. So with these remarks, actually, I would like to conclude this call. Thank you.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.